Great. If I could just sneak one more in again on silicon, where are you in the process of qualifying your foundries? And could you discuss the competitive environment? Because there's some news that has been coming out recently about GaN becoming more popular in the market and even some GaN on silicon players. If you could talk about that, that would be great. Thank you.
Sure. So we remain on track. We continue to progress with our qualifications of our production foundries. Again, the critical path here is entirely reducing. We announced our Gen 4 GaN, which was a spectacular hit at the MTT IMS show, which matched the performance of GaN on silicon carbide and with a cost structure that ends up below that of the incumbent LDMOS. So that was, as you can imagine, a big hit. But I don't want to understate the task here of getting that ramped, yielding, and qualified in the high-volume production foundries that can supply things like base stations. Supply chain is everything to the base station guys. I mean, you can see the gyrations that that the industry's gone through from last year to now what's happening. Supply chain flexibility is a big, big, big deal. I would say technically, our big progress last quarter was, you know, with the disruption that's going on in the marketplace, there was access to some talent that previously never would have been available. We staffed the support teams in both China and the U.S. to support Europe, the U.S., and in China. So all the major guys would know guys who are proven, who understand the customers and the applications, which was a critical piece of the puzzle that had to be put in place. And I would say, I think the customers are keenly aware that we're really the only path to GaN, in my opinion, being capable of supporting that supply chain, those supply chain demands. When we actually come out public with our supply chain partners, it'll be obvious why that is the case. But again, there's a lot of work to get that supply chain qualified and yielding. We're still on track as far as we're concerned for first quarter 2016 being in that position. But it's not done until it's done. And I should say, our assumptions when we talk about replacing the earnings of the automotive business, that assumes zero revenue in 2016. Not that we believe zero revenue, but we are not counting those chickens until they hatch.
Thank you. It's very helpful.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Steve Smigie with Raymond James.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll say congrats for great performance in an awful environment. Just wanted to follow up on the GaN. So it sounds like you said that your GaN on silicon matched the GaN on silicon carbide performance. It seems pretty like a pretty big deal. I mean, I know it had been fairly close, but to match it at your cost structure seems like it should be a pretty big deal. So I'm just curious in terms of customer reaction to that, if you've been able to get that far. And I know you probably don't have your engineers there, but can you talk a little bit about what the performance metrics were that you were able to match?
Yeah, the two metrics were efficiency. So we demonstrated, we had live demos at MTT IMS of 70% efficiency, and power gain was, I think it was 18 dB or 19 dB was our power gain spec, which is, that's actually best in class for LDMOS. So we hit the power gain of LDMOS with the efficiency of GaN. I actually don't consider GaN to the first approximation in those commercial applications to be our natural target because it's just not that well penetrated. It's, you know, there's some good revenues that people have posted, but it's relatively esoteric programs. So that's really easy pickings. The real issue is being able to expand that penetration of GaN against the incumbent LDMOS. And with that, I mean, our cost structure is now, I think, very well understood. The one thing that I failed to mention on the previous question was there was reference to other people with GaN on silicon. The thing I can say unequivocally is our patent base that we acquired from Itronix is multidimensional and a minefield that people simply cannot navigate. Anybody who tries to bring GaN on silicon into RF applications will be met with a pretty firm legal situation. So we think this is a highly defensible market that as we drive and lead the conversion, it will be very high barriers to entry over time.
Okay, great. And when you spoke about getting the supply chain up here, it seems like you had originally been talking about Q1, some production shipments, and then more the back half of the year, more significant volumes. Is the supply chain just part of making that happen, or is this tracking maybe a little bit ahead of schedule?
I wouldn't say anything is ahead of schedule, and I'm trying to very carefully avoid commitments of production volumes anytime in 2016 for the following reason. What we hope to have is the process qualified and have production units and be able to begin production as early as the first quarter. Now, that said, until we pass qualification and we're yielding, we haven't passed qualification and we're not yielding. That is kind of like doing a crossword puzzle on a schedule. You don't really want to commit to that, right? So, but once we have those production units, then customers start turning programs on. And it is completely impossible to predict how many programs and how fast customers will award programs, how quickly they will ramp. I can tell you, in general, the base station industry cycles programs at a pretty good churn, especially over with the Chinese manufacturers, less so with the Europeans. Specifically, Ericsson tends to be more diligent in taking longer. People like Huawei and ZTE tend to be far more aggressive. But again, cautious optimism is probably the best approach.